Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. Yes, today. It's Thursday, May 30th, 2024. Not addressing anything domestic necessarily today. You know, folks, you know what's going on, right? So, and we, I like to initiate the 48-hour rule, 72-hour rule with respect to news headlines of, but anyway, with me right now is Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. And right before airtime, Dr. James, great patriot, great man, had sent me kind of an alert saying, hey, did you see this? And interestingly enough, which you're about to see here momentarily, kind of, I mean, it buttresses what Steve Quayle is going to be talking about. And today's title, okay, Battle Beneath the Waves, The Silent Zone is Where the War Begins. Now, if you think about this, and think about something else, if you don't mind, just for a moment, how cavalier have we gotten about the potential, the possibility of nuclear war? Have we forgotten the horrors that we saw in Hiroshima and Nagasaki back at the end of World War II? Have we forgotten those horrors? Have we forgotten the, and I mention this often, Annie Jacobson, great writer, wrote a book called Nuclear War. If you haven't seen that, that will make your socks go up and down, man. I'm telling you. Her description of what a nuclear war would look like, it's frightening. I mean, I've when I say frightening, I mean, it's a better word is sobering. But with respect to all of that, Steve Quayle's got some great information about this. Of course, he's got the contacts that I don't have with respect to the military and the underpinnings of what's really taking place. But look beneath the waves, okay? The battle beneath the waves right now. The silent zone is where the war begins. And if you think about it, and if you really consider the various arms and that Russia has and we don't have, or that China has and we don't have, and other countries have that we don't have, because we're too busy, you know, with the DEI stuff with our military. That brings up this, and I'll put this up before Steve comes on. This is what was sent to me by Dr. James, and let me pull this up myself. Okay, go ahead and put that on the screen. Dmitry Suzlov, it's time for Russia to drop a nuclear bomb. Now this appeared on RT, but for all the Russian citizens and anyone who follows this channel or looks at this channel, this is open source. The U.S.-led bloc, according to this report, has lost its fear of the mushroom cloud. But seeing one would perhaps focus some minds. Now think about that, okay? The last thing anyone wants to see, I believe, is a mushroom cloud, you know, over the horizon. And think about how your life would immediately and forever change. Our lives would change. So to really discuss this and what's going on under the water, with me is Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Folks, visit stevequayle.com, and when you do so, look, there's a lot of stuff going on, as you know. So if you look at his website, upper left there on your screen, Renaissance Precious Metals for Serious Investors, certainly visit that website. They've got IRAs and 401ks. They've got the precious metals and so on. You know what? If you don't have it now, even though it's rising, right? You should get it. So Renaissance Precious Metals, you can click on from stevequayle.com, plus all of his books, Gen 6 Productions, DVDs and such. Every penny worth the investment for his intellectual products. Okay, so with me, Steve Quayle. And I do hope, folks, I do hope you are part of the private briefings, because what a great, it's just a phenomenal information. It really is. All right. With me, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. We have a surprise for you coming up at the last half hour. A surprise. And I'm excited about this because, the guests we're bringing on, I love this lady. I mean, like a daughter. Okay. So anyway, Steve, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug. And again, I think there's a groundwork and a foundational statement that has to be made. There is no more important subject than the nuclear provocation for nuclear war. And I have been fighting against it, warning about it. And I could care less about people that are getting on the bandwagon. Thank God they are late. But what's important is that, ladies and gentlemen, America is no longer a superpower in the military arena, in the financial arena, in the industrial arena, or even in the world of AI and computing electronics. So when, by the way, Dmitry Suslov, I think that's how his name is pronounced, is I agree with his statement wholeheartedly. And if I were Russia, and I'm serious, I would pick a desert island. I would tell all the eyes in the skies that have satellites, I would tell them, watch what happens. I'd put a countdown timer on the screen. I would launch a hypersonic nuke from a submarine and watch what happens to an island. I'm talking a good-sized island. I'm not talking a coral atoll. And for the record, I'm talking about an uninhabited barren island. It could be any place. Most likely, it would be closer to the Arctic Circle in whatever area.
Epstein Island works for me, but go ahead.
Yeah. So here's the thing, Doug. The title for today's show is Battle Beneath the Waves. The trident, if you will, not just the missile that's on our submarine launched ballistic missile, is, in my opinion, broken. Now, that statement I intend to amplify, describe, and tell people why I've arrived at that conclusion. The United States is falling behind in submarine production, in the technology associated with it. Now, look, people, I have one position to stop. I can't stop the judgment of God on America, nor would I even try. It's because whatever nations sow, they're going to reap. But I'm about saving lives. And I believe, Doug, that the Word of God says God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The world, Jesus said, and their generation are wiser than the children of light. And because of the silence in the pulpits, which have turned into puke pits, the reason I call pulpits puke pits is because they're neither they're lukewarm or worse, they're cold. And Jesus said he's going to vomit them out of his mouth. So we could talk about, you know, all the other subjects. For instance, Operation Sandman is in effect. BRICS nations, China, India, and the Maldives just announced. They're not taking dollars anymore. Operation Sandman, before I get right into the nuclear war issue, is when 140-plus nations repudiate the U.S. dollar at a specific hour, saying we won't take the U.S. dollar any longer. And ladies and gentlemen, forget the central bank digital currency. If we have a nuclear war, and I'm telling you, we are going to have one. I just don't know the time. Not just because of the prophecies of Dmitry Dudem, and not just because of the prophecies of Henry Gruver, G-R-U-V-E-R, but because of all of the events taking place. We're stripped naked. That's probably truer, Doug, than I should. That's probably a Freudian slip. Our military has abandoned its men. Our nation has abandoned its veterans. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when the technological excellence that President Putin is not bragging, and I'm tired of the bullshit headlines of vilifying him when I don't believe anybody has tried harder to stop nuclear war. The United States started it. The United States military, number one, doesn't believe Russia will use their nuclear weapons. Hello, wake up. So what I'm talking about today is battle beneath the waves. The tip of the spear, or if you will, the longest point of the trident, which is a spear, is going to absolutely shock everyone. And it's our submarine fleet, both our boomers, our nuclear subs, our fast attack subs. And again, Doug, the title for today's show is that it's interesting. The battle beneath the waves is simple. Every single sub in the United States is shadowed by a Russian sub. Our FAVs, you know, fast assault subs, and our boomers. So if Russia's got four times the speed of torpedoes, by the way, these are facts, it's not propaganda. If Russia has four times the speed of the torpedoes that we have, minimum 2 to 3 times the distance, and obviously we're at war. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I got to get through today. God help me to get through, and God help you to listen and see. We are at nuclear war. All these events happening in the United States, from train wrecks, from bridges, all of the, even Chase Bank was blowing up. And that wasn't an accident, gas leak. That was a message being sent to a specific bank by a country that's not only at open declared war against the United States, but using asymmetrical warfare. So let's talk about the submarines. And Eric, if you put that next subject up on the screen, the next article. Look, this is real stuff. Now, Doug, read the headline, if you would. I get a sip of water while you do.
Yeah, sure. And by the way, folks, I've been in that Chase Bank in Youngstown, Ohio. And I know that area very well. Very interesting stuff. But to what Steve is talking about right now, Russia has moved 11 nuclear submarines into the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, think about that. Why? Go ahead, sir.
Well, again, and each one carries up, you know, from 6 to 16, up to 32 missiles, which may hold from 6 to 10 nuclear warheads for, ladies and gentlemen, a cautious estimate around 1,000, even much more, independent in many of the warheads' case, are independently targeted, and they can basically change direction, and there is no such thing as a U.S. anti-ballistic missile shield. There is no way to intercept a hypersonic missile. The one they just demonstrated that took out one of the third largest bases in Ukraine was 9,000. I could be off a couple miles, Doug. I think they quoted 9,601 miles per hour. In essence, from the time the hypersonic missile, conventional, was launched, an entire NATO headquarters, all of the equipment in the Ukraine was destroyed. And I want everyone to understand, if it's a NATO headquarters, that means you had NATO generals, you had U.S. generals, and you had British generals. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are open headlines. But back to the article, and keep it up just for another minute, if you would, Eric. When you're having such specific intelligence given to you, then please use your God-given intelligence to understand this. We are at war. We are at war. The United States started the whole nuclear thing. And by the way, the laissez-faire, the, if you will, just the attitude, well, a nuclear war is no big deal. That is endemic. It is a pandemic of denial and ignorance. And it is an object that should, Doug, every America.
Steve, we lost your audio. I'm not sure what happened there. All right. There we go.
Can you hear me?
Now you're coming back. Okay, go ahead.
And Doug?
Okay.
Well, it says my internet connection is unstable. I've got high speed line. Gee, I wonder who's messing with us in real time. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I'm pleading, but I'm not begging. Look, I can't, Doug can't, nobody on talk radio can get people to think. Capable. But with the numbed and dumbness of the, if what I would call nation, that's a hard word, of the United States by mainstream.
Brother, your internet connection is, in fact, unstable. Let me fill in some blanks there, folks. If you're listening to this by audio podcast, of course, travel over to Rumble, and while you're there, subscribe. But take a look at the image on your screen right now, Russian Navy Submarine Building Program 2020. That's 4 years previous. And look at the different ballistic missile submarines by the Russian Navy. And then you folks who are military inclined, you can compare that to our Navy. Where are we at here, Eric the Tech? What do you think? What's that? Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah. Am I stable now? Can you hear me?
Well, that's open for interpretation. But yeah, no, yes. Your internet connection, I believe, is in fact stable now. So, okay.
Okay. Well, again, look, I cannot, and I hope this is true.
Wow. Brother, I'm telling you, man, you're frozen on screen. Go figure, you know. All right, let's... You want to do something like attempt to reconnect? Or Eric the Tech? Yeah, it's your internet, so reconnecting wouldn't help. Okay. Try it again, brother.
Well, just
there we go.
Yeah, just yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this used to be almost every other day occurrence with me when I was on shortwave radio. You know, the biggest shortwave radio station in the country at that point was WWCR, and certain people moved certain engineers in that would detune the amplification and also mess with every one of my broadcasts. Hawk has had the same thing happen with his broadcast podcast. So understand how critical this information is. So people are talking about this. They're talking about that. And then, Doug, it's public story. Trump, ex-president Trump, said if he were still president, he'd nuke China and Russia. Did you see that story?
I did not. No. Do tell.
Yeah. Well, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a very, and Eric, maybe you can find that, but the point being, it's a real story. It's not just on, quote, questionable media, because they're doing everything they can to slam Trump, but that's the wrong thing to say, especially when there's nothing to back it up. So I want to make this statement. If those who believe there's a political solution to a spiritual problem can tell me how the change in administration is going to change a nation that's already destroyed, not only its morale, its weapon systems that were never built, its questionable functionality of its weapon systems. And then, oh, by the way, the reason this title is Beneath the Battle Beneath the Waves is because Britain on two occasions tried to fire submarine-launched ballistic missiles, ours, the building, and they failed, Doug. They failed. So the Trident nuclear missiles, that's a pretty scary thought to think that the tip of the spear is broken. You know, in nuclear lingo talk, a broken arrow was a lost or even stolen nuclear weapon. But so this is important that people understand. So what good is a change in the slaughterhouse? I no longer call it the White House. What good is a change? How do you effectuate change when you have intentional provocation, NATO putting F-16s into the border of the Ukraine, Russia saying, you land them, we'll take them out. Russia saying, you know, you put your 90,000 troops, we'll take them out. And I want to remind everybody, we in the United States are the land of the broken covenant with the living God. This is my opinion. I could defend it historically. We are the land of broken treaties, the 2014 treaty. We have not shown any good faith. Now, look, I love the country that was. I no longer recognize the country that is. And ladies and gentlemen, if you can't see what's going on, look what's happening in the retail sector. Look what's happening in the restaurant sector. Look what's happening in the grocery sector. Look how much land China owns, farmland. Look how much land the leading annihilation of the human race, Bill Gates, in my opinion, and others are buying. Ladies and gentlemen, they want you to eat synthetic, the S word, and they're going to eat Chateaubriand and drink the best champagne in the world. So in essence, what we're watching is, I would call it a requiem for a dying nation, knowing that there is no greater issue at stake than nuclear war. Would you agree with that, Doug?
100%. You know, and again, people, I think people have lost, at least in my view, people have lost their sense of history, or never had their sense of history with respect to nuclear war. You know, I don't know how many people are still alive that could speak to the horrors of what happened in Japan, but that would be like a picnic compared to what it is now. And I reference, look, I often reference Steve, and I've got no financial stake or anything. I often reference Annie Jacobson's book about nuclear war, but she goes into detail as to what would happen. It would be the entire world would end in 72 minutes, and any survivors would envy the dead. But you know, people don't. I mean, people talk about this like it's, you know, a football game. Go ahead. Okay, so you're still a little bit, your connection is still a little bit unstable. So what you referenced, Trump suggested as a fundraiser he would have bombed Russia and China. Not a good look. It is what it is. I'm not gonna support something like that. Okay, obviously, is it talk? I don't know, but that's dangerous talk for sure. Steve, are you with me? No. Okay, brother, if you can hear me, your internet connection is still somewhat unstable, and you're not coming through. So he's going to reconnect, folks, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the work Eric the Tech does behind the scenes. By the way, folks, while I have this intermission, two things. Number one, be sure to catch tomorrow's show. An extended interview with Jack Cashel coming up. You're going to want to really rewrites the history of January 6th. And while I'm here, let me just thank you, the supporters of this broadcast. Thank you so much for your support and your trust and your belief in this platform. And I just also want to give a shout out to our supporters as well, our sponsors as well. And if you haven't done so already, please go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Folks, groceries, rent, gas, they're not the only bills that are rising right now. I mean, my goodness. Rising to unaffordable levels at that. Energy bills are reaching record highs as well. 20 million households, last count, are behind on their power bills. Some power companies across the nation have really deficits of like $13 million in uncollected bills because you and I, we can't afford to pay the rising cost of electricity. Yet the power companies show no signs of lowering costs, and the costs are not coming down. So that's why I'm lowering my energy bills. Thanks to today's sponsor, eSaver Watt, and absolutely love the cost savings it brings me. Thanks to eSaver One, I'm able to slash my power bills, beat the greed of inflation. Okay, which is really a greed, and beat the utility companies as well, and keep more money in my own pocket every month. The eSaver Watt plugs into any wall outlet, and you know what? It works. You're going to find immediately that it works on saving money. It saves me money. By plugging this device into one's home wall outlet, it helps stop a home from wasting unnecessary energy, reducing a home's electricity usage, and extends the lifespan of appliances, protecting them from power surges and such. It ensures a consistent and safe flow of electricity throughout the home and much more. The cost savings in the first month alone had the eSaver watt paying for itself. It did. So please visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com, or simply click the link in the description box below to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills, up to 66% off and free express shipping, plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. You can't beat that, even with a big stick. And we're going to be talking about a big stick that was used on January 6th tomorrow with Jack Cashel, but that's don'twastepower.com. All right, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com is back. Hopefully the white trucks outside are not messing with the stability. You back, brother?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
You know what? That's even better. So, yeah, we're okay.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. This is beyond our control, but I'll guarantee you one thing, that some people in rooms with giant screens are watching this in real time, even though it hasn't been uploaded. And I just have reason to believe that. And it's not melodrama. What's more important, Doug, really? Think about everything that fills the headlines. Think about the silliness. Think about the denial of open declarations of nuclear war getting ready to take place. And yet, again, we talked about it, the carelessness and the concernlessness. And you and I have had this talk. How do you help people that won't help themselves? Now, I believe the people that tune in, whether they mock us, hate us, scorn us, whatever, the bottom line is there's something that keeps them. Somebody says, well, yeah, you're cheap entertainment. Well, then enjoy the final episodes of the cheap entertainment, because it's not a embellishment to tell people we're at nuclear war. And I guess I can't tell the what went out and what didn't, but I was saying this, it's not propaganda. And you guys put up on the screen, I think it went out, all of the different Russian submarines and the ability of their nuclear forces. Let's take the Poseidon nuclear torpedo. Okay, Eric, if you'll leave that on, those nuclear torpedoes have the ability, and by the way, they're 100 megatons, 100 megaton warheads. They are, in essence, autonomous drone, more so than torpedoes. Russia has told Great Britain, you guys either back off or this is the fate that awaits you. But why are there so many lions, with all due respect to the ones in back, that are making threats for the annihilation pretty much of the Western world? And not, I'm not talking about Russia or China. I'm talking about the West now, NATO, Great Britain, and pretty much the United States. So the Poseidon nuclear drone torpedoes have 100 megatons each. It's estimated that the radioactive tidal wave would go anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 feet in altitude at speeds that would pretty much drench any of the coastal regions and put, this is the, what the Russians have said, would basically take out Great Britain. Now, people say, oh, the U.S. says they don't exist. Well, really? Then we put up articles, Doug, over a year ago where Britain was searching for them because they took the message that it was real. Russia even showed not all the inner, you know, secret stuff, but they even showed the Poseidons at some of the arm fairs. So they're not bluffing. Our warheads use basically just a terminal guidance system. We don't have warheads that can avoid any anti-missile system. We're hearing reports, Doug, rumors, but some of our eyes in the skies, our satellite early warning systems are out. They're blocked out. We're seeing GPS out in over the whole, if you will, Ukrainian theater of war. We're watching, and I don't know if I went out, so if I'm redundant, it's only because I don't know where I shut down or
no,
what went out.
Good. No, you're right on point. Yeah. Go ahead.
So the issue is, again, I want people to understand that there has been no larger effort to stop nuclear war than on behalf of the Russians, because guess what? They didn't start it. And all, and I said this, in case the word is offensive, it's amazing to me. Thermonuclear annihilation of America is not, you know, and there are people that don't get the truth, that basically are offended by certain four-letter words. Well, I'm sorry, they fit. And again, ladies and gentlemen, how do you plead? How do you, how should I say this? Reveal. How do you present truth if everybody says, well, Doug, I got to go to this game on Sunday, and, you know, people that are betting on sports, why don't you all just get on a site and start, and I don't know how you collect, you know, in Las Vegas, and start betting on when it ends, because it is going to end. And I want people to understand this. That is the hardest thing for Americans to come to the realization, because we've been lied to, propagandized. The truth has been bastardized. It no longer exists in America. And what? And to give evidence of that statement, what is the EU announcing? They want total control over everything on the internet, and they'll be the sole determiners of what's truth. If that doesn't make people want to gag and like gag a maggot, and remember, it's the maggots that are running the show, in my opinion. Oh, you just name call. I don't know, Doug, and I don't know how you can do it, but I don't know, after all these decades on talk radio warning these days would come, that when they're here, people still scratch their head. A new F-35 goes down. All of our interesting high-tech weaponry doesn't seem so hot. The B-21, you know, they're lauding the capabilities. But I got news for everyone. Just because Russia doesn't blast a B-21 out of the air, they're interrogating, and it's the same thing when they penetrate no-fly zones. They're acquiring the signals of not only radar, but all means of tracking, to basically have a counter to it. And the United States has no dominance in the electromagnetic weapon spectrum. None. Zilch. And to prove that, North Korea's messing with the GPS. Guess who has that technology? Iran has that technology. Interesting. All of them have signed mutual defense treaties with Russia. And now we've got the Middle East boiling over. We're watching, and this is something amazing. These are their words, children of the Holocaust being implementing genocide by using the same terminology that Hitler used against them. And then animals. No, these are human beings. Those little innocent children, they are innocent children. The women and the men are just, listen, it's genocide. But why is it okay? Why is it that an American church, well, if there are any anymore, won't speak out against it, won't declare the sanctity of life? Oh, I get it. They were quiet during the abortion of the most innocent. So if they allow the killing of the children in the womb or the sexual mutilation of their children, oh, we just want to be, you know, woke, and we just want to accept everyone. Well, fine. Just remember this. You'll enjoy the company in hell, because in essence, ladies and gentlemen, the salt has lost its savor. This is my opinion. Prove me wrong. The light has gone out. The lie that, oh, America sends so much preachers around the world. No, it doesn't. It exports pornography, DEI, and every form of collateral damage that kills innocent men and people. And to point that out in an evidentiary manner, that's what the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said. Well, look, we had collateral damage in Iraq. We had it here, there, and everywhere. It's a general accepted policy. I'm telling you, it's not acceptable.
Madeleine Albright, in an interview, justified the killing of innocents, including the babies, and as collateral damage. I don't recall the interview itself, or who did it, or the circumstances, but it was one of the most callous statements anyone could ever make. And I agree with you on the exportation of. What are we exporting? We're exporting filth. We're exporting this demonic agenda by these these monsters, demonic monsters here that are running things. So you're 100% accurate on this. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, there's no interruption, Doug. I mean, except the powers that be messing with us.
Yeah, that's
right. But again, there is no more important issue. Now, important issue. Now going on to the asymmetrical warfare. Today it came out, gee, this is really surprising, that masks served no purpose on the COVID-19 outbreak. Now it comes out that the PCR test gave too many false positives, yet the whole point of, getting America to comply, when America complied, it died. And this is something that people can't understand. They can't understand why a hamburger or, a supersized meal is $25, and look what happened. Their sales died. How about the stores? One of them was in the East Coast, closing 400. What happens when all the supermarkets close? Well, somebody said, well, I wonder why that's happening. I'll give a real simple explanation. People can't afford the food. We have become a starvation nation. So if you look at the asymmetrical warfare underway, you attack a nation's economy, you attack a nation's industrial base, you attack the nation's moral base, and I quote the abomination of desolation, the entity claiming that America's the greatest nation in the world, we intend to change all that. Look at how fast it's happened. Look at how fast, too, Doug, the switch went on. And look at how fast, and I mean this, how fast the denigration of the nation went into full score, full speed ahead when the Democrats declared war on God. God has no place on this platform. Well, I got news for you. The mouthpiece for the demon rats has a special place reserved in hell for him. And see, there's no fear of God in the land. Look. This isn't preaching. It's trying to tell people it's going by the book, to quote Johnny Cash's song. It's going exactly how the book of Revelation said it was play out. And ladies and gentlemen, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the four asses are, pretty much located in Washington, D.C. I'll let you figure out who those are. But the point is that they're riding death, war, famine, plague, and the Republa whores, which I call the zombie cons, pretty much have given the demon rats everything. So, Doug, again, I rest my case. I believe the evidence is so apparent that you can't get away from it. And when a nation goes hostile towards God, when a nation allows what we're allowing, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot sit back and think, God, we're going to make America great again. The America you think is going to be made great again doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist. And neither does the history that established the true America. When you see the average college graduate, when he runs out of fingers or she runs out of fingers, I literally watch this happen on TV. They shake their head on basic math skills. Basic math skills. So if they, the communists in one generation have destroyed an entire generation, and they did it through public education. That was one of the tenets of the faith. That's exactly what Yuri Bezmenov and others said. And who was it? I think Stalin. Was it Stalin or Lenin said, well, it only take one generation. Give us your young people. And we will, in essence, destroy your nation. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist. So, Doug, as you field all your emails and feel everything, as the days grow darker, the evidence grows stronger, and the people that are emailing to you are like, the light is just turning on. I mean, do you think, honestly, that the percentage of people that just read those two articles, or actually three that Eric put up, do you think they can, embrace cause and effect?
I wrestle with that, and no. Simple answer. Can they do they embrace it? Do they understand it? I think there is so much intellectual dishonesty, or people who just have their heads so far up their backsides, willingly, or even unwillingly, or unwittingly. It's almost like trying to convince, or it'd be the equivalent of me talking to someone who had six boosters and wearing a mask outside on the beach to look at the world situation in its real form. I don't see it. No. Long answer.
That's the right answer. That's the only answer. Let me say this. Multiple choice questions usually have an either or. What that question I asked you only has one answer.
Yeah.
Because again, now the government and Biden's policy wants U.S. government to scan all images on your phone to comply with new AI rules. I'm on record, and this is, I want to get back to nuclear war, but AI is already, and I can't say what I want to say, so please read between the lines. AI programs are already running, and they determined the winner of a nuclear war. And guess who it isn't? The USA. And guess how sophisticated this is? In essence, what we're told about AI, and I just posted an article on my website today about, robots have now passed the Turing test, where you can't tell them from human beings. In that article, it says that what Hugo de Garis said at the conference in Branson is imagine something a billion times smarter than humans. Do you remember that, Doug?
I do, and it's hard to comprehend. Admittedly, it's difficult to comprehend, but the information coming out about AI is just absolutely astounding. And you... To your credit, okay, Hugo de Garis, your conferences at Branson, and even your writings through your books as well as the DVDs, folks, go to stevequayle.com and get up to speed, because Steve, let me ask you: do you have and forgive me for not knowing this, but do you have the conference DVDs still on your website?
Yes.
Okay,
we do have those, and ladies and gentlemen, on the books. I made the decision because the cost of paper and printing to pretty much let each edition of the book go out of print. And the ones that you see on stevequayle.com, you go on there and see books and videos. We have those DVDs of the conferences. I mean, those are rich, meaning you get some of the greatest minds in the world. Hugo de Garis is one of the smartest. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about information that was given to you so long ago, but if you want to get it, and Doug, again, my goal is, and I've done it, I think on one we'll post it, to have audiobooks, because I realize people are scrambling. So Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. Boy, nobody thought that one was worth people that read it and bought it. That's, I'm not talking about those, but a lot of people, in the quote religious community looked, what do you mean, fallen angels? What do you mean giants? What do you mean hybrids, And now they cannot deny it. And by the way, God willing, we'll have our new trailer out for our newest DVD, and we pulled out all stops. When you see who's in it, I'm not going to give any hints now. I think you'll find it. If we were here and we cut a pretty high level of expectation in our previous DVDs, this next one is up here. I mean, it's you'll see by the authorities, you see some of them on TV. You see double degree you know, here's a hint, astrophysicists. You see some of the guys who are the world's experts on myths and legends that are talking about stargates, portals, wormholes. You'll see Native American elders that are talking about, oh, yeah, stargates, portals. It's a matter of fact, we have a giant society, and our Native, medicine men, we would call some witch doctors, actually some skinwalkers, go open up the portals, and they're told what the future brings. And I asked one of the Native American elders, I said, then why do you guys worship the giants who ate your people out of existence, the Anasazi? By the way, the Pueblo Indians do not like that name, okay? The ancient ones. I mean, to tell you this, that is like the wrong word to use. But the Anasazi, one of the translations is the ancient ones. The other translation, Tom Horn brought this out, bless his heart, is I don't think anybody and ever had the speaking capability and the memorization capability of Tom Horn. And I was blessed to be able to do a venture with him called The Holocaust of Giants, probably one of the most telling and compelling, but again, ahead of its time, DVD. So DVDs are available, but on the Gen 6 website, GENSIX.com. So many of the books are out of print, Doug, and when they're out. The only two exceptions I'll make is I'm going to reprint Jesus, the Premise of Promise, because people are using that all over the world, and also I'm going to reprint Empire Beneath the Ice. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't understand it, the Nazis really did win World War II. Excuse me, where is the battlefield for World War III? It's in Ukraine. What is the Russian government saying about 27 million Russians that lost their life? They're saying we're not going to put up with the Nazis any longer. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, Operation Paperclip and the other programs, we imported it all. And now I'm under this statement. I won't apologize. Under it now, the final Reich is rising, and they will show no mercy. They will kill without constraint unless the people of God, you know, pray. And then we can't hold back the judgment of God. And I hear, well, you don't believe in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I was part of the 2 Chronicles 7:14 movement when Jimmy and Carol Webb were launching that in 1973, 74, shortly after the Jesus movement. That's if my people, which are called by my name, show me anybody who's willing to be called by the name of Jesus. Not, oh, you know, we love everybody. Come and let's hear the heart of the drag queen. I don't think you're going to get into the kingdom of God with that attitude. Oh, who are you to judge? I don't judge. I take the words of Jesus. The word of God will judge you. And so here is the bottom line, and it's critical that people understand this. We have become such a narcissistic nation. And we're going to bring on my daughter, Stephanie, who wrote a book on narcissism with one of the world's experts on narcissism. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a big deal. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow him. The world says, take up your iPhone and follow yourself because you're God. No, they're not. So I think it's important, Doug, that people understand we have a narcissistic nation that is so focused on control, and that's one of the key issues of narcissism. And I learned a lot about it from my daughter. I thought, gee, why is all this stuff going on? I am not a aficionado of social media. I remember calling Facebook Faces of Death book. Now it's come out that everything that you're doing on Facebook, posting, they're going through every single database and building an AI profile. Remember, it's alien infestation. Alien, transdimensional, you want to believe they're grays, blues, or pinks. Yeah, they're probably going to be pink aliens with purple hair. I'm not kidding. I'm sure that's to come. But what's interesting is that everything is designed that's evil to destroy humanity. And we have embraced narcissism where the whole world is recoiling. The prophet Jeremiah said that we're going to become a hissing in the nostrils of the nations around us. That's what happens to nations that abandon God. There is no fear of the Lord. If there were fear of the Lord in the United States would have abandoned evil. You've got every convoluted contortionist in the mainstream accessory to genocidal murder, MSATGM. You've got the EU. You've got this group, that group, wanting to control every word that's on the internet, every image that's on the internet. By the way, that's also being proposed to scam. Well, I want to tell everybody, whatever they're proposing is already being done. Whatever they admit to, the Turing test, robots can't be, you know, artificial intelligence, and again, it's not artificial, can't be separated. When that, if you will, that crucial crossing of, and you, if you look at robotic intelligence, that Rubicon has been crossed. There's no going back. Oh, we need some rules. There are no rules. AI, from its inception, was a destruction of humanity. Well, you're a Luddite. No, I'm not a Luddite. I'm a realist. Luddite, someone that's anti-technology. But isn't it interesting that the technocrats, the techno-trillionaires soon to be, are the ones that are showing the greatest narcissism? So if we've got time and Steffi's on, let's bring her on, because this is critical.
All right. By the way, I'm a Luddite, so hang on one second. Eric, the tech, do we have her yet? We're going to bring her in right now. Folks, you're in for a treat. One of my favorite people I look upon. I've got so much respect for this young lady. Just a wonderful daughter to Steve Quayle, Stephanie Quayle. She wrote a book, Why Do We Stay? It was released in late April, April 30th, I believe, of 2024, this year. And it's on Amazon, too. You can find it on Amazon. The book would appeal to both men and women, but I suspect, just from looking at this and going through this, the women of today would do well to really absorb this book, okay? Now, again, why do we stay? How My Toxic Relationship Can Help You Find Freedom. This by Stephanie Quayle and Steve Quayle's daughter. Steve, and there it is, folks, right on your screen. If you're listening to this on audio, go ahead and go to Rumble. While you're there, subscribe to our channel. But look at this and grab yourself this book because of the value it has for women, for and again, even men. It's got a very, very, very important message in it. So with that, Stephanie Quayle, God bless you. Thank you for joining both your dad and myself. I really appreciate you. You're a talented author. You're a talented singer, and you're a great person.
So good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to be seen, especially by you. So, but anyway, Steve, if you want to superintend, if you want to manage this, yeah, go ahead and do that, because I love the daughter, dad-daughter.
Our dynamic.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Hi, Dad.
Well, I think one of the things, and I'm going to turn it over to Stephanie, I'll ask some questions, but I didn't have a complete understanding of narcissism. I didn't understand the dynamic. Even when people have been aware that Stephanie's book came out, Why Do We Stay? This is an interesting book because I got to tell you, Steph, you open yourself up to, you're transparent. I actually told her, I said, are you sure you want to do this? I did say that. But ladies and gentlemen, it is such a problem. And what it's Stephanie's life, and by the way, I observed it, and a special blessing to Romy Zaret, who was an integral part of Stephanie and my life during the troubled years she'll talk about. And God bless you, Romy. The thing is that it is that critical, because in essence, we are watching a narcissistic nation. And so, Steffi, explain what narcissism is.
Steve, I got to punch in with this. Yellowstone, such a big popular series. You live in Bozeman, okay? Yellowstone, Bozeman, okay. I believe this book and the existence of the train station I see a connection there. I'm just saying. Go. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Steve.
No. I appreciate what both of you. Just thank you for sharing this with your listeners, because I think to everyone's point and purpose is we are, my dad is a watcher. You're a watcher. You're a watchman. You're trying to give people a heads up. And I think the whole point of this book is to, there is the story, right, which is my firsthand account of what happened to me. And then it's met with Dr. Keith Campbell's expert research and data so that the reader has a roadmap. And when you were sharing that it's not just for women, it's for men and women, one of my readers is a father and a husband. And after he read the book, it made him want to be a better husband and a better father. And I think that we all want the best for those around us. And sometimes we don't have the words. We don't have the terminology. You know, to my dad's point, when he's like, what is a narcissist? You know, it's kind of been so exploited, that term, that sometimes we call jerks narcissists, but not necessarily narcissists. And, you know, there is that spectrum, but that, you know, kind of self-absorption and self-belief that you're invincible and that anyone in your wake, or, you know, they are very good at being pathological liars. And there's a spectrum of that. You know, there's narcissists that get into, you know, psychopathic and sociopathic behavior. And then there's some people that just really love to take a selfie. So, you know, there's this widespread term that, you know, is sometimes misused and misrepresented. But I think that, you know, my goal with this book is to really share the information. We learn so much better through stories. Go back to the Bible and the parables and how Jesus taught. So there's that. So we have that recall, but then we have the expert roadmap of this is what narcissism is. This is what a toxic relationship is. This is what love bombing is. I didn't know what that was. The grooming. So if we can all get healthier and wiser and become better watchmen of how we can share that information, then as we get stronger, narcissists won't waste their time on us. They will move on because we won't be easy prey.
Well, Steph, again, narcissism, by the way, Dr. Campbell is one of the world's experts,
yes,
on narcissism, if not, yeah, the expert.
Yeah.
And so the book is kind of cool because Stephanie lays out the issues she had and, you know, with some of her men she thought were the, if you will, the answer to all her looking for love in all the wrong places.
Boy, am I that song. Or I was that song.
Yeah, you were that song.
I was that song.
And you know, even some of the lyrics to your songs, you know, they promise you everything and then take it all away. Please explain narcissism in a clear and concise way, Steph. Take your time.
I'm going to read the definition so that I not alter it in any way with my quailisms, as you and I both have. I'll just read you the exact quote, and that's what's really great about this, or the exact definition about the book, so you can go back and just read it firsthand so there's no interpretation. Narcissism is a personality trait describing an inflated sense of oneself along with a relative lack of compassion or empathy for other people. Narcissists can manipulate and exploit others and have a powerful craving for attention and admiration. Now, narcissistic personality disorder, which is an actual personality disorder, is the psychiatric personality disorder associated with extreme narcissism. So this is when you're talking about getting into sociopathic and psychopathic behavior. NPD is a combination of grandiose self-love, self-views, a lack of empathy for others, and a need for positive attention and admiration. Importantly, NPD leads to significant impairment in the individual's love and work lives.
Well, okay, and give an give an example. I mean, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't rehearsed this, and I mean, obviously, and the thing is that. I don't know where you want to share, but you don't, if you, you know, you opened all the stuff up in the book, and my first response was,
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Go ahead. I mean, share what you think will be illustrative or illustrating of what we're talking about.
Well, I think that the most important takeaway when dealing with people that are narcissistic, have narcissistic traits, or what we can do to protect ourselves from that behavior is, you know, God gives us this intuition and gut for a reason, and we need to pay attention to it. How many times did you and I talk about this where I would say something to you, you would be like, that doesn't sound right. I'd be like, no, everything is fine, really. And I think we have to look at first, okay, how does this make us feel? And if it makes you question the other person, that is the first indicator that there's a red flag that you need to address, right? In my case, I just overrode those with what I call potentializing, but the term in psychology is romanticizing. So this is where you essentially see someone for what they could be versus what they are. You don't take them at their action, you take them at their false word. And so when I was promised everything, and the relationship that kicks off the book is the one where my partner died in a plane crash. And it was then 5 days after at his memorial that I learned that I wasn't the only woman. And so that grief, betrayal, and everything compounded. And I didn't seek out to really understand the magnitude of the trauma that comes along with that. And so I would say also to anyone watching that might be in something that they don't know what to do with, or if they're trying to understand it, is we have such resources, we need to seek out the help. You know, if that's through your church, if that's through therapy, if that's whatever that is there are certain things that we just didn't have the terms for. I never even heard the word narcissist until really the last handful of years, you know, and understanding what grooming is. You know, when someone, in my case, he brought me into his life as his little sis. He would portray me as his little sis to his other friends and other women that he was dating. So there was this blurred line where it's very messy. And so how we can look out for these different signs. Love bombing is an interesting thing because you would think that someone showering you with love and gifts and affirmation is something that you would think would be a good thing. But actually, that is a tactic. That's love bombing is a technique. And usually then it's met with the rug getting pulled from out from under you, or it's met with some type of very negative. In my case, it would be just put downs and picking at me in a way that was very confusing, because on one level it would be, I love you, I'm going to give you everything you want, we're going to build this family together and this life together. And then on the flip side, it would be, you know, talking about how I was getting older, or how my face cracked, or how I was bulking up. So it would be like this very manipulative behavior. And now even saying it out loud, as my here with you two, like it's just wild to even say, but when you're in it, it's so hard to see clearly. And so the hope is that this book can be like putting on glasses, right? It's like, okay, this book is like, okay, here's the story. Please don't let what happened to me happen to you. I didn't have this book. I didn't have these tools. And here's what to do if you're in these different situations. And it also can happen in business.
Well, I think, too, it's important, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm telling you this, I'm a guy, and that's obvious. I have no gender issues. But what I was taken back by was every time Stephanie would tell how she got suckered in, how she got pulled in with one arm and pushed away with the other. And I went to the funeral, okay? I rushed down to my daughter's aid. I took my sons there. And, you know, it was interesting. They had a microphone, and it was set on a podium. This is a funeral. Some very famous people. I won't drop names there because Stephanie's, I don't know what to call them. It was her love interest. It was my hatred target, okay? Because obviously, when you love someone, you watch them go through this. Now, I want to make this clear. This book has such far-reaching ramifications. You, ladies and gentlemen, please get it, especially every woman. if you're a product of divorce, if you're a product of being on dating sites, if you, I'm not passing judgment, just saying, look, if you understand what a professional and an expert, world renowned for narcissism, and you identify you need to flee that toxic relationship with your life and for your life. And so this is what is astonishing to me. And so every time Stephanie would open up, you know, an action that this, you know, this, I'm just going to call, you call him by name, but I'll call him the you know, the narcissist. Okay. Narcissist one.
That's, we'll go narcissist one, narcissist two. Yeah. That works.
Dad. And I mean, she spells it out in her book, but the issue for this interview is this. Judging from my emails, and I have a lot of females who, you know, listen to me. And as a matter of fact, they get the world situation better than men. But men, there is a specific seduction of narcissism. And that's what I think is the antidote for one of the biggest problems in the United States. And Steph, again, it's interesting because you've got controlling and the, you know, control and power is the basis. But then you have all these women, and I'm sorry, it's women. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not on social media. Thank you, Jesus. But the point is that selfies, I'm here, I'm there, look at me, you know, I'm the perfect personification of the free woman. The biggest point that I'm trying to make is it's a minefield out there. And in the book that you wrote, honey, and why do you stay? That was my question.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted to kind of, I'm sorry, I'll be careful. But there came a point where, you know, I would have taken matters into my own hand. We'll leave that.
Well, I think that to your point, like watching our loved ones hurt, we just want to do anything to prevent that from happening. And, you know, to your point about social media, everything is so filtered. Everything is so presented as these, here are the best moments of our lives on display. And then it becomes this whole, you know, very self-motivated world. One of the reasons why I went full jugular on myself in the book, because I am very unfiltered, was because how could I expect anyone else to look at their own life honestly if I didn't look at my own honestly and be able to really share that? And that story of redemption and that story of hope, I'm getting to experience the other side of it now. But it was very hard and very heartbreaking, I'm sure, especially as a father, now being a stepmom and watching that side, how hard it was to not be able to step in because I was an adult. And so I think, or I am an adult, but I was an adult at the time and as well. And so I think that, you know, if we can give something that can help others, you know, I think about time a lot. And if we can give others time back by them learning from my mistakes and the lessons and then the expertise of, you know, what to do. You know, I think, you know, when you say like you have to leave, you know, there are people that can't leave or there are kids involved or there's family members where they can't leave them. Right. And so I think that it also, you know, Dr. Keith Campbell is I just love the way that he presents certain things. So for those that have, you know, narcissists in their family and, you know, it could be a brother, it could be a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle. You know, there's certain things that you just keep it short and shallow. I loved when he said that to me. He's like, because narcissists will never admit they're narcissists. And if you're kind of listening to this going, I wonder if I'm a narcissist, my friend, you are not a narcissist if you're thinking about that. But keep it short and shallow. Keep it, you know, conversations with narcissists love to, you know, kind of keep it about them. And that just kind of safeguards you. And there's certain things you can do in preparation for, you know, as he says, if you're dating someone, U-Haul and write a note. Get out of there. But if it's, you know, a situation where you're married and there's finances that are intertwined and other things, you know, there's certain things you have to do in advance to really set yourself up to free yourself. Because the thing that I experienced was, you know, anytime I would pull away or try to leave, they would double down. And it almost becomes a conquest more than anything else with narcissists, at least in my experience.
So, Stephanie, if I can ask this, this is almost like an instruction manual to those who are looking for answers, who are involved in a toxic relationship and are looking for answers how to extract, self-extract. I mean, you provide that information, actionable information that won't destroy the person as well. I mean, the right. victim, so to speak, right?
Yeah. That's a great way to say it. And it's that guide and tool book, right? So there is the story, and we were originally writing the book, you know, myself with the publishers, you know, we wanted to, how can we impact more lives in a positive way? And I think when we take my story, which is the firsthand account, and then Keith's expertise to give that action, the tools, the guide, that here's what you can do, not just leave other readers hanging, right? Like it's, here's her story and goodbye. You know, it's, here are things and action steps that you can take, as well as resources, you know, and knowing, you know, what to do in those situations. And I think one of the things that I've experienced with people reading the book and their experiences, they feel not like they're an island, right? They don't feel alone. And they're seeing their story and my story, but the tool, you know, it's like it's a book that you can go back to and kind of reference. I reference it quite often, as you just saw, you know, with the different, you know, words to express when describing these different situations and people. So I think that when you have, you know, a one viewpoint, right, and it's just like the expert viewpoint, it's great information, but I think also having the firsthand account and the story to go along with it, it just helps the mind remember, have that recall, and be able to go, oh yeah, that was that moment in the book, and that's the action step to take.
Beautiful. And Steve, if we have a pandemic of any kind, it's a pandemic of toxic or narcissistic individuals and toxic relationships and victims. My goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's critical that, you know, seriously, ladies, when Stephanie told me what she was writing, and I went, my mouth finally closed, because the jaw was, you know, the thing is I said, and somebody else said this to me that has read her book, she said, Steve, that's every woman's story. Now, not every woman is in a toxic relationship. She was talking about her generation, which would be Stephanie's generation, but she said, if I had only read it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing more debilitating, because you're seeing Steffi smiling. You're seeing her in retrospect. She's been happily married for 9 years, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, but I saw her. I saw the fruit of narcissism. I also saw the most narcissistic man I ever met burn up on a runway. I'm sorry, that's painful, honey, but I watched it in real time. It was filmed by KTLA from a helicopter at Santa Monica Airport. Yeah. Now, my daughter was spared flying with that jerk, okay? Sorry, Stephanie, but that's how I feel.
Listen.
And, you know, at the intercession of the people that were praying for my family, and especially Romy. Romy, I want you to guys know something. I was actively, you know, probably dug almost too proactively ready to act. And Rumi gave me a wonderful word. And I'm not going to go into detail, Stephanie, just to say, Steve, God's got this. Take your hands off it. And she knew exactly what I was planning to do. So, Stephanie, if how much time do we have left, Doug?
We've got plenty of time, actually, about 18 minutes.
Okay. So because, Stephanie, they were cutting me off at the beginning of the show, that's why, you know, the powers that be. So let's go step by step, because, again, I think it's critical. Number one, identifying the problem. Number two, dealing with denial, because I'm talking to you and the chapters I've read, denial is the thing that you basically openly admit you are denying it all, especially when, you know, give instances, you know, you don't have to go into, let people read the book, but the three things in your mind that should stand out, that people should get from your book, what are?
Well, I mean, there's so much, but to drill it down to three things, I would say that when I was writing the book, I didn't incorporate this as much as I'm going to share here. So there'll probably have to be a sequel. This book is about relationships. The most important relationship is the relationship we have with Jesus, not first and foremost. And I think that for a lot of years, I was like, I've got it. I've got it figured out. This is my guy. This will be fine. It's terrible, but eventually it will get better, you know? So just speaking to my own, you know, my own life, because I think that's really important. I didn't take care of me. I didn't take care of my relationship first and foremost with God and then with myself. So in hindsight, had I had this book and had I had myself in order, none of this would have happened. But here we are, and the goal is to share the book so that it can help others. So, you know, my three biggest takeaways are, when people show us who they are, believe them. Don't believe their words, believe their actions. Had I done that, a lot of this would have been much more obvious. And romanticizing people is very dangerous. You know, really looking at the person for who they are and what they are. And does that work for you? And is that enough? And instead of creating a version of a person that is then going to, in my case, you know, ended very tragically. And then I had repeater syndrome, where, you know, then, as we call him in the book, Narcissist Two, the prince. So I would say, you know, look at that. Another big, big factor and a big red flag that we experienced was isolation. Isolation from your family and friends, from the ones that are speaking into your life. If you're experiencing isolation and your partner is isolating you from your family, there's a reason for that. And I remember not calling you because I knew you would know that things weren't good. And I remember there being this isolation happening that was an obvious sign now, but I was so in it. You know, I was so sure that I could make it right. And I think that, you know, we don't want to believe people are bad. We, you know, I love people. I love trusting that they're not terrible humans, but there are a lot of terrible humans. And so really understanding that. And then I would say that if it feels wrong, it's wrong. Like, your intuition is such a gift. It's a God-given gift. Our gut is there for a reason. The more we listen to it, the more it expands, it grows, it gets louder. And, you know, had I listened to my own gut, I would have walked away, but I didn't. I overrode it, right? I was like, I was sure I was just, you know, that I was wrong. And I really think that if you look at what the person is saying to you, if someone has to put you down to lift them up, that's a problem. If someone has to make you small to make them big, I don't know. I could very much just say, just walk away, but there are more complicated situations now with, you know, when you have families and finances and things like that. So you really have to, you know, get your world in order before you can walk away, because you can't convince a narcissist that they're like, talking to a narcissist and trying to convince them to get better is, you know, I think there's only one way that a narcissist will change, and that will only be by the grace of God.
And I think too, it's important for every woman, idealistically, when she comes into a relationship, and it's true for men too, the sure. Bottom line is, unrealistic expectations
yes.
are, I would say this, you used a great word, romanticizing and also yeah. fantasizing. Yeah. If it's crappy at the beginning, okay, if it's yeah. controlling at the beginning, it's going to turn out really bad. And yet, yeah. you know, and I want to ask you about this because you probably are. I mean, I know you're being contacted by a lot of different people from a lot of different sectors, but it's the desire to be loved that, and wouldn't you say this too in your case, that caused you to overlook the obvious? And that, yeah, you know, 1 minute you're the most, and I would, as my daughter, I mean, you know, I know some of the things, and I use the word things, that showed up at this narcissist one's funeral. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, yeah, you know, that's not a good thing. And the thing is that, you know, there's no way that I have to describe it other than that expression. But women want to be loved. So the unrealistic expectation of love. Now, let me ask you this. I know you don't, you're not on dating sites, but I even got an email from one of my listener subscribers just talking about there are people and genuine women, whether they're widows, you know, and or whether they're people coming out of a divorce, a jilted, just a relationship.
Yeah.
But why do you think that this society, and you're dealing with this, obviously, and why do we stay in your own life? But why do you think there is such a promotion of narcissism? And in essence, you know, we've got some of the most narcissistic presidents. I'm going back to Kennedy, okay, forward, not just the ones that were, the ones that are, you know. But we've got a political class of narcissists. But again, the women stay. Is it, do you think, and I want to ask you this, is it primarily financial that women stay in narcissistic relationships with toxic men that they know is toxic, but in essence, they don't know where else to go? Is that a fair question?
I mean, I don't know what the statistics are. What I'll say is, I think that the ideal that someone else is going to fix us, I think I would say that the idea that we aren't whole without another person versus, you know, having your stuff together, having your stuff together and being healthy and having all your, you know, working holistically, then you meet people that have their stuff together, right? And I think that we just have a very misconstrued view of we are not whole before we have our other person. And I just don't think that's where it gets messy. Have I met women that feel financially stuck in bad relationships? Of course, sure. But I think it's more of, we're not meant to be alone. We want to be with someone. We want to be loved. We want to be fulfilled, but we go about it the wrong way. Right. So what I've been really focused on with my learning and my healing and getting myself sorted, and fortunately, I have a very patient husband who also saw me as I was 10 years ago. He knew I wasn't finished figuring out my stuff, but that wasn't a string or a stipulation to him. He took me as I was, and I'm so grateful because now I have a different understanding of unconditional love. But I also realized that I didn't love myself. And I don't mean that in a narcissistic way. I mean in a way like the way that Jesus loves us, that we are loved. I didn't treat myself with the same kind of love, or I wouldn't have fallen prey to these relationships. I wouldn't have stood for the behavior in both business, in friendship, in these relationships. And so I think that there are a lot of reasons why people stay. I think that we can sometimes feel that there's no way out, but there's always a way out. And there are also relationships that, you know, I had a couple that wanted to read the book together, and I thought that was so cool that, you know, they wanted to read through it together, because even as I read back, you know, and I read Keith's information and the research and the data, and it there's a lot of self-reflection that happens. And I think that's the one part of self that is probably the better component of our selfie world, right? When everyone is so self-focused, there's certain amounts of that, you know, accountability and self-responsibility is so important. I think there's a huge lack of that. You know, we are so quick to blame others for our stuff. And I own the fact that I chose those relationships. I was complicit in my staying. And I have to own and be responsible for my actions. And that's also the reason why I talk about all this stuff, so that when someone's reading it, they're not thinking I'm a hypocrite or a fraud, because that then would counter the whole point of trying to help people. And I also want people to be willing to go into the stuff they don't want to look at, because that's probably the one thing that's holding them back, you know, and to really go and look at that and go, okay, I've got to work through this, because there's no way around stuff. We have to go through it. And that's how we get stronger. And that's how we get more resilient.
Describe, if you would, was there a major difference between narcissist one and narcissist two? You know?
Well, I think that, well, I mean, there were differences for sure. I think the biggest difference was probably narcissist two was more arrogant, and I made more excuses for his bad behavior. Whereas narcissist one was more slick, was more charismatic. So he kind of had this just way with people, where I felt that, you know, looking back, I made a lot of excuses for narcissist two. And I just had no business, you know, being in a relationship. I hadn't done the work, and the work included grief counseling. You know, when you lose someone that you love, regardless of his behavior, my love for him was real. And, you know, I didn't really understand the magnitude of grief. And I think a lot of times we try to hurry through our feelings. And I think that it's really important that, you know, for someone who's lost someone and is grieving, like when you mentioned the widows, and you know, that grief is unlike anything I've ever experienced. And it doesn't have like and day one, you're going to feel this, and day 100, you're going to feel this. It's just not, it's not that cut and dry. And so I learned so much through, you know, doing the work. And, you know, Paul Hagstrom was such a big part of my, you know, learning. And also, you have to be ready to hear, you know, it's sometimes you can hear information and learn things, and you're just not ready to like get full understanding. Like, even I go back to different things from my time with him, and I'm like, man, now this makes so much more sense. You know, that's wisdom is action. Knowledge is just knowing.
You know, would you also say, too, that because of all that you've gone through, and obviously, you know, God's doing an amazing work in your life, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, the verboten subject with Narcissist One and Narcissist Two, you know, was Jesus. And
yeah.
Now, you know, your life has changed after, you know, in essence, I've watched, ladies and gentlemen, change. You're up in the morning, you're seeking God, you're praying.
Yeah.
And, you know, in essence, one thing I've learned from you, Steffi, in your book, is that, you know, the part that I've read, you know, the bottom line is that we're at this point now where people will outpicture so many different things that God's discernment is so critical, because we're in a time period, especially with the seduction of the age.
Sure.
And that's one of the words I would use for narcissists, that
yeah,
seducing spirit.
Yeah.
And when you're walking with Jesus, it's different. Hasn't
yeah.
Now that your walk with Jesus has changed and it's open, it's pronounced, you
yeah.
know, isn't it giving you a full, a more complete perspective? I mean, the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I January 28th of this year was the 15th anniversary of the plane crash. And instead of allowing that to be what it's always been, I reclaimed the day and I got water baptized. And
That's Stephanie. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're almost out of time.
Yeah,
that is fantastic. And the only thing I want to say to this is, 7 weeks ago, I buried my 38-year-old daughter, and if she she had this book, okay, if she had this book 2-3 years ago, things might have been different. So, dads, moms, and spouses, I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of the most important books you can get for family relationships. Stephanie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I just that breaks my heart.
But you have formed, you have created an instruction manual, and I appreciate that. Steve, I'm sorry. We're out of time, brother.
No, I understand. Steph, love you.
So bye-bye,
much. Doug.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Everybody,
so much.
Buy this book. It'll save you heartbreak. It will save you heartbreak.
Amen to that.